Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Kevin Wooster is with me now inside the Black Hill Surgical Hospital studio. Kevin's blog is at sdpb.org/Wooster. Kevin, thanks for making the trip down to say hello to us.
It's great to be here in person. I got a little bit dressed up.
You got the gear on.
Yeah, I got the...
Not the School of Mines gear, the SDPB.
Got the public broadcasting Thunderbird going for me, and I have long pants on, so I'm not wearing my skinny blogger's uniform, I guess.
Yeah. We all cleaned up for radio today, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, why not?
This is such a fascinating blog post, and I was looking at it last night and this morning, because you reached out to the gubernatorial candidates and asked them about their faith, which was inspired by hearing one of them talk about it. Tell us the genesis of this idea for you.
Well, like so many ideas I have, it came to me while I was washing dishes in the kitchen. And I had the TV on in the background, one of the local stations, and I heard Laura Hubbell, a candidate there for the Republican nomination, talking about certain issues, but nothing stuck. And suddenly I heard her say that my moral compass is the Bible, my moral compass isn't the law, which grabbed me, because I think that's an interesting issue that we deal with and, you know, maybe have been dealing with more since George W. Bush became president, and some of the talk he had about his faith life and his how he came to Christ in his mind and how that affected his life. And I think some people have been a little more uncomfortable with that since then, because we have that conservative Christian push that has some effects in Congress and in the legislature. So
right, and so you decided, well, I'm going to ask them all. What exactly? How did you frame the questions? What did you want to know from them that you thought would be significant for voters?
Well, my first thought was, I'm just going to fire off this thought to the other to Jackley, Norman Sutton.
Right.
Boom. See what they think. What do you think of this? See what she said. Specifically. And so this thing kind of evolved, which it does now more than when I was a real full-time professional reporter, because I thought, well, I'll just do this, send him an email, and I get some responses back, because Jackley responds right away. Boom. He's fast. And then as it progresses, you think, well, maybe I should ask another question. Oh, I should probably get Terry LaFleur in here, even though he's kind of maybe a marginalized candidate. And let's get them all. And let's talk a little bit more about this whole issue of your faith and how it affects your life and how it affects especially you as a public servant, as an elected official, how it would in the governor's chair, how it does now, and whatever you're doing now.
Do you think you got answers that were insightful and thoughtful and useful? Or do you think you got, were people inclined to give you the sort of standard, what they think voters want to hear kind of thing?
Well, I think Marty Jackley was really quick to respond. He was the first to respond and was right away by email, because you can email Marty and he'll respond right away, anytime, day or night. And he's also Catholic, so we can make the old Catholic joke here. If I want to know what's in the Bible, I'll ask a priest. I'm sorry, Monsignor Wooster, I'm only joking. You know, we do read the Bible as Catholics, but you know, we certainly rely on our priests a lot more maybe than some people do in terms of interpreting the Bible. So Marty was basically just, you know, had kind of a political response, which was that my moral compass was shaped by how I was raised, he said. And I think that's important, that he looks to both the Bible and the law. He has a Christian faith, and as a nation, we are a state of laws, as nation and state of laws, which is important to remember. You know?
And he's an attorney general.
He's an attorney general.
So let's hope.
Let's hope.
He's guided by the law.
And the others, Laura Hubbell was more forceful, you know, because I asked her the same question over again, and she comes back to a very detailed and, I thought, interesting look at her perspective on God and religion and the law and policy, you know, pretty strongly that there should be more of that, and Terry LaFleur, more of that, and Kristi Noem, a little less of that, but pretty strongly that's informing who she is and her Bible study groups in Washington and the way she teaches kids in the study, Bible study at home and a church that they're at, that they've been going to for a long time with she and her husband go to in Watertown. Billy Sutton, I would say, was, as you maybe would expect, was more nuanced. And I thought, you know, some pretty interesting stuff about obviously his own life and how his faith in a little Baptist church in the town called Lucas that's not much more than a church in a house or two now that he has been attending since he was a kid, and how that faith affected him after his injury, the, you know, paralyzing injury that he had.
Why does this matter to voters? How should we look at these conversations, and what can we tell about how someone's going to govern based on the way they answer questions about faith? Should we care, or should it be, you know, more like, you know, that's their private life, that's their, you know, what they do on Sunday? Or should it be more front and center, where we're really looking at those questions and answers and saying, hey, this matters?
Well, I certainly think it matters. And I think as we have this discussion about the separation of church and state, about religious freedom, you know, which is all big stuff and big discussion points now, I think how elected officials frame their religious beliefs, if they have them, you know, and let's try to, I mean, we're 5 for 5 on people here, but there's, I'm sure, a lot of listeners out there that don't believe in God, that, you know, that don't have a religious or a spiritual faith life, at least a religious faith. How do they approach this?
Right, yeah.
You know, because as I'm looking at all these answers, I'm fascinated by these answers. But I'm also thinking, what is somebody who doesn't believe? How uneasy does this perhaps make them feel?
Yeah.
You know.
Or someone who believes something else.
Or,
you know,
absolutely.
A Muslim, Lakota person.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who says, this is not my spirituality, this is not my religion, this is not my faith.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things Billy Sutton, maybe who stood alone in this, was careful to say, that I would not seek to impose my beliefs on anybody else.
Right.
And nobody else said they would, but they also didn't say they wouldn't. And, you know, that's worth noting, that, because I think it is.
On the other hand, I'm hearing a lot of people who are, you know, who want to hear more, and who are, when things happen, when there's a tragedy or an act of violence, they're saying, we've lost our moral compass. And so this notion of speaking to what your moral compass is, I think, is also tapping into conversations South Dakotans are having across the state right now of what is going on. Does it matter if people aren't going to church as much? I think it's part of the conversation that we're having as, you know, as Christians as well.
I think so, yeah. And I think, you know, I'm biased. I'm a Catholic. I'm a Christian. I'll try to be a fairly spiritual guy, an imperfect one. But I think church is important. I think the community of the church is important. I always tell people that even if I'm wrong and there is no God and I'm just doing a face plant into the ground when it's all over, I've loved going to Mass. I've loved the spiritual connections I had with people and with what I believe is a greater being out there. I've loved the challenge that my religion gives me to be a better person.
Right.
To be more thoughtful, to be more caring.
How do you bring that into your life as a journalist? Similar to what you're basically asking these candidates, is how does it change how you lead, or how do you, you know, carry it with you? Do you continue to carry your faith with you as a reporter over the years?
I hope it helps me a little bit. I've got this massive ego that I've always had, and my wife calls it a healthy, really healthy ego, she calls it. And when I was younger as a journalist, I was pretty sure I knew everything. And I would have a shorter temper. I would be more disgusted by people about certain things that they did or said when I wrote stories. I would tend to hold some grudges sometimes about people if they criticized me in what I thought was an unfair way. And I hope that my spiritual life helps me to not be so judgmental, to not be so reactive, to be more patient with other beliefs and other ideas, and hopefully be fair. I mean, that's one of the things it pushed me for, is you need to be fair to all people. You try to be, even if they drive you crazy.
In our last minute here, Kevin, anything in the answers that surprised you or kind of came across as something that you did not expect a response from one of our gubernatorial candidates?
They kind of responded in the way I thought they would. I was interested in the detail that Christine Ohm gave about her spiritual life and the frankness of it, and how that she got into detail about how that frames the way she would govern in Congress. And I loved Billy Sutton just talking about the way he looked for answers after he was paralyzed, and also that he'd grown up riding. He told a story about riding the tractor with his dad and the story of Job and facing tough times.
There's an authenticity to
very much.
Yeah, to those stories when you hear them.
It's worth reading.
Yeah.
If I do say so myself. And I just did.
The healthy. I think it's worth reading as well. So I second that emotion. Kevin Wooster's blog can be found at sdpb.org/Wooster. Kevin, thank you so much for coming down, and we'll see you next time.
Okay.